Welcome back to another Creative Encounter podcast. I'm your host, Juette Payne, and I'm excited to have you here for episode 25 of this podcast. Please, if you are on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe. If you are on Spotify, I would love for you to leave a rating. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave a review so that we reach so many more creatives through this podcast. But without further ado, I have an amazing guest here, one of my good friends from Campus Ministry. She came to the first Creative Encounter event that we had live in person. She's just been such an amazing support and friend. Her name is Jolene Carter. Jolene, what's going on?
Doing good. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Yeah. So let me tell y'all real quick, Jolene left me. Jolene, out of all the people in Chicago, she should have stayed for me, but she left even still. No, so Jolene, she is from D.C.?
I'm originally from New York.
Originally from New York. And right now you reside in D.C.? Yeah. Cool. So Jolene is a part of the same campus ministry. I was a part of Chi Alpha Campus Ministry. Chi Alpha, what's up?
What's up?
And you were a student leader?
That's right, yeah. So I was a student leader in Chi Alpha as a student, and then I spent some time on staff, and then came to Chicago to do the CMIT. And so now I'm transitioning into being a full-time grad student at Howard University. So I'm doing film. I've just been all over. So like New York, Chicago, D.C. Just like all over the map.
But you keep it East Coast though.
I'm an East Coast girl. It's true. I'm an East Coast girl through and through.
Yeah, so Jolene, she is she raps, she plays drums. As you hear, she is into film. She's just an amazing creative, just well versed in all of those different things I just mentioned. And she's just been such a blessing to this ministry so far. So I was like, I had to get her back here. But before we talk about Chicago, how has it been being back home?
It's been great, yeah. D.C. is really cool. It's been great. I feel like I have my hands in a whole lot of different projects and different things, so there's always a lot going on, but it's great. Yeah. It's been great being around my family. Yeah. I got little brothers that are pretty young, and so I've been able to hang out with them a lot more.
Did they miss you when you were
here? For sure. Yeah, for sure. They won't say that because they're too cool for school. They're like, okay, whatever, she back. But
you're like, why are y'all crying?
Right, yeah. Like, you know you were sass. I'm lying.
Love it, man. That's so cool. Yeah. But your time here, you were only here for like, was it a year only?
Just about a year, yeah.
Man, so we only knew each other for about a year, and I feel like we just like hit it off like,
immediately.
Right away.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I feel like that's just like that creative energy. Yeah. I mean, like you meet somebody, you click with creatively, and you're like, boom, we're doing this.
And I forgot to mention, you do photography.
I do. Yeah, I do photography.
Yeah. So man, so this girl, she just had So like, okay, so let's go back. You know, I always like to share the story
for sure
of like how you even just kind of started getting into the arts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So how did that all even start?
Wow, how did it start? I think the furthest back I would go would honestly probably be when I was like 9 years old, actually. Okay. So it was summer, I was summer 2006, I was 9 years old. And I was actually, my family was living with my grandma at the time in Queens.
Yeah.
And one summer, me and my cousin were just bored. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, we were just like, let's just like make our own movies, basically. Okay, yeah. And so we like took my sister's like super cheap, you know, those old like digital cameras. Oh, they're like 1 megapixel. Yeah.
You get 2 seconds for this movie.
Yeah. And so we just like took it and we would go to my grandma's backyard and we would just like make our own shows. So we would come up with like our own like almost 90s style sitcom. So we would go like make up our own episodes and we would make our own music videos. And at the time, like I didn't think of it as like, oh, I'm making art.
Yeah.
But it was just like, oh, this is fun. We're making stories. Yeah. I would film it. I would put it on my old computer and edit it in Windows Movie Maker.
Man, that must have been rough.
Yeah, it was hard. Sucks. But it was so fun and I loved it. And that's kind of how it started. And then over time I realized I was like, oh, this is like an art form. Like this is a full thing. So then I got even more into video and then I even started getting into music.
Yeah.
Because I started playing piano when I was really little, and it was one of those things where my parents just
you play piano.
Like, yeah, I do. That's why I got into music, was playing piano. So my parents signed me up for piano lessons, kind of just as like a, you're supposed to do music, like it's part of school. Yeah, like, you just do that.
Exactly.
So I did piano lessons, and at first, to me, it was just like a school subject. It was like, all right, I gotta study this, I gotta do my skills, gotta do whatever. But then I got older, probably around like 11 or 12, and I started listening to a lot more music, and I was like, oh, people use music as a form of expression. And to me, before, I was just like, it's just something I have to do. You know, I'm not allowed to play video games until I practice piano. So, let me do that.
So you just thought it was just like a part of your curriculum.
But then at a certain point, I was like, oh, like, people really write songs to express themselves. Like when they're playing, it's like an emotional thing. And I was like, that's really cool. So then I started doing that. I was like, I want to write my own songs.
Yeah, come on.
And so then I started writing songs. Now, were they good? Absolutely not. They're definitely not good.
I know. We got to hear some of them.
Well, you know, maybe I'll do like a little The Vault, like unreleased songs when Jolene was 12.
Hilarious. Like keep these unreleased songs.
That's right.
Songs,
yeah. I'll be on a unnamed SoundCloud somewhere.
Yeah. I love it.
That's cool. But it was really cool. And then I was like, I listened to a lot of artists. I was very into Alicia Keys at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would listen to her music, and I was like, she's like pouring her soul into these songs. Yeah. I was like, oh, music is like a tool for that. Mm-hmm. And so then I started writing my own songs. And so then when I got into writing songs, I was like, I want to learn all the different parts of writing music. So I don't want to just know piano. So then I started to learn to play drums. Mm-hmm. And then I learned to play some guitar. And then I was like, how do I like put this together? And so I just kind of gradually started working on it. I would try to record my own songs in Audacity or whatever it was. I would like have one of those like computer microphones that people use for like Rosetta Stone, but like I'm like trying to record like
Mavis Beacon, like you're the typing.
Yep. It's like but I used whatever I had and I just started making my own music, and then it just kind of kept going. And then I've always loved hip hop, and so I was really into, especially like Christian rap at the time too. Yeah. And so I would like write rhymes of my own. And it wasn't until college that I like put my music out there. Mm-hmm. So in my campus ministry in Chi Alpha, that we would do open mics a lot, and so I would always perform. I would rap at the open mics.
Where did we meet? Did we meet at a Chi Alpha or at like a Thermostat? Because Thermostat is our weekly campus kind of gathering that we would have at UIC. And different campuses too, but Thermostat is what we have. So, like, did we lead worship together for that first time, or was it an open mic? Because I did play at an open mic.
That's right. I think it might have been the first time when I was here that you led worship. Maybe. Okay.
I think you were on.
I was probably playing cajon, drums or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah, but it was cool. So like when I was like an undergrad in DC. We would also do open mics too. Yeah. And so then I would go and I would like, I didn't even have my own beats at the time, but I would like take a Kendrick instrumental and then I like write my own bars to it and I would perform it, and people really loved it. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm like good at writing like these bars. And so then I got into it more. I connected with a friend of mine, Frizzy Vasquez, great rapper, great producer. And so he started working with me too. Yeah. And we would make music. And then I just kind of like kept going and was just like, I'm just going to keep creating things and take the opportunities that I get. And to me, I still do it now just because it's like, it's how I express myself, which is how I started. And so it was like, this is just how I talk about who I am. This is how I talk about the things that matter to me, how I think the things that I think should matter to other people. And it's just kind of like, I just love doing it. And so I just kept doing it.
I love it. That's so cool. And you, as a producer, that's what we typically do. We start kind of dabbling in all the different instruments to try to see how to put the pieces together. So that's whether we're working on our tracks or someone else's tracks, we can kind of hear like, okay, this arrangement might need this instrument or may need this layer here and there, putting it together. Because you started putting your things together. I think you just started with just using even like GarageBand, right?
That's right. Yeah. I use whatever I had, you know, and then eventually I started learning how to use Pro Tools. Mm-hmm. And so then I started working in Pro Tools a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, and I always tell people like, start with what you have.
That's what I was gonna
say, I remember there was a long time, especially when I was a kid, when I was in like high school and like, I didn't have anything. My parents were like, we're not buying you like expensive music equipment. We don't even know if you're going to stick with this. you know what I mean?
Good choice.
Like, like work with what you have and you'll be surprised. Like I always tell people like my motto is do the best with what you got.
Exactly.
Do the best with what you got. And then you'll gradually be able to work your way up and you'll get more opportunities. And even for like people who do film or music, you'll get better equipment later, but don't wait till you can afford that to like make what you need to make. Like do the best with what you got. It will probably be better than you think it can be. Mm-hmm. You know, don't limit yourself based on the resources that you think you have.
I love that.
Yeah.
And that's so true. I want you guys to focus in on that, because a lot of people, a lot of creatives will wait a long time to get anything started and just, it'll just stay up here.
That's right.
You know, because you're like, oh, I can't wait until I get that specific gear or, you know, all of that and stuff. Whatever. You got to start. You got to let people know what you have, what God has given you, put it out there already and everything. So, man, I absolutely love it. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so even with your like hip-hop, loving hip-hop, I wonder, like, who are your, like, top three artists? And then for each one, I want you to tell me why.
Okay, top three hip-hop artists? Okay. Wow, top three hip hop artists.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you don't have to mention me. I know, like.
Okay,
know,
cool. That makes it easier to narrow it down.
Yeah,
I would say number one, you know, Juett.
Right. Yeah, you so, can just skip that because everybody knows that already.
We don't have to clarify that.
I got to hear about that.
Okay, man. Okay, this will be no particular order, just kind of as they come to me.
Okay, cool.
But I love Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Man. Absolutely love Lauryn Hill. And I, the reason I love Lauryn Hill, I mean, the Miseducation album is like a classic album. Yep. But timeless. I love Lauryn Hill, one, because I feel like she actually set a lot of precedent for like infusing faith into hip hop. Like if you listen to her lyrics, like you really see like what part her faith plays into it and how she talks about that.
Yep.
But also her blending of like hip-hop with R&B because she sings and she raps. Yeah. And so it's like this like effortless fusion. Like she'll be rapping and then the next minute she's singing. And it was just like this effortless line through. And so I love like the fusion of that. Like, because I'm a rapper, but I also love R&B. Yeah. Now, I'm not an R&B girl. Like I'm not going to be releasing R&B tracks. Like I'm not that kind of singer. But I love R&B. Yeah. And so like I even like musically try to infuse R&B into like my beats and things like that. Like rapping on R&B stuff.
Because at this point you're creating... You create your own beats for your tracks.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So I like to fuse it. And so I love Lauryn Hill's, obviously her lyricism, her delivery, like just like flawless album. Yeah. I mean, incredible. So good.
And just the raw hood kind of ghetto feel sections of the record where like, you know, you got those tracks where the students are kind of talking and everything. Yeah, it just makes it so like relatable and just kind of have that nostalgia.
And so complete too. Yeah. Like there's a theme to it. You know, it feels like a cohesive project, which a lot of people, you know, they just drop singles here, singles there, and it's not like a cohesive thing. Yeah. And so I think that's an art in of itself to say, hey, this is an album I'm making to make this point or to tell this story. Yeah. And I think that's like really awesome.
That's so dope. I love it. Yeah. Cool. So we got Miss Lauryn Hill.
Yep, Lauryn Hill. One of my biggest influences, I gotta say, Lecrae, because I've been listening to Lecrae literally since I was like a little kid. And it was just crazy that his career is that long now.
I know.
But, like, I'm 26 years old, and I can say I've been listening to him since I was a kid.
Yeah. So let me tell you. So 2000, I believe it was 2005.
Yeah.
This is when Lecrae, before Real Talk, even dropped.
Mm-hmm.
He came and he performed at Soul Purpose, which is the youth ministry at New Life Community Church where I used to go. Mm-hmm. So this is when he just first started. So he's up there.
Yeah.
He had an X-2024 shirt on, you know.
Nice.
You know, that was super dope. So he was up there and he was performing. And afterwards, he gave us, he signed his CD. And right there, it wasn't even a full album. It was maybe like 3 to 5 tracks on it.
Yeah.
You know, just like a little EP.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told us, he said pretty much like cop this record, like he's like keep making copies of it over and over and just pass out because I just want the gospel. I thought I'll never forget that was the main thing he told us. And then like a year later you just saw him just blow up.
Right.
Yep. So I remember that. It was crazy.
Yeah. So I love Lecrae. I've listened to him for a long time and I think even how long I've been listening to him, I've noticed like I think the influence on my music is almost like natural at this point. It's like sometimes I'll be writing a flow and I'm like, oh yeah, that's like kind of influenced by like what I've heard from him and that sort of thing. And I think also I really admire his career in general. I think he has an evolution as an artist because his career is so long now at this point. You know, like you said, like Real Talk, like that was forever ago at this point, right? Crazy. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
But he has always grown as an artist and has been willing to move into different genres. Like, he was like, all right, I'm just going to put out a trap album now. I never made trap music, you know?
He says he's relatable to the next generation, even.
That's right,
Man.
Yeah, so he's always changing and moving, but still true to himself. And even, like, content-wise, like, the things that he talks about, you can see that he's very organically showing the world his thought process, you know? So he thought one way, and so his older music sounds more like this, or it includes that kind of content. And then, you know, he was kind of going into... becoming more socially conscious even and like talking more about race issues and race in the church even, and even dealing with his depression. You can like see that he's so rawly like put that in his music, and then if you listen to every album you can see the growth. And I think that's really beautiful. Like that's art, to be able to just listen to someone's music and see the trajectory of their life. I'm like, that's absolutely incredible.
I mean, again, I just keep going back to dropping things, you know, when God gives it to you, just like, don't have that fear. I had a dope conversation with one of my buddies about that, just like dropping what God gives you, because you want people to be able to see that evolution.
That's
you know?
Right.
And then, you know, you look back at the original stuff, you could be like, oh man,
you're like,
I'm at a different level of caliber now. And but it's beautiful because people want to follow that. They want to be involved in your story. That's the whole part of it. And that's the whole fan base and the connection that you have with people.
Yeah.
It's so dope.
Right. Which is great. Like you're saying, don't wait till it's going to be perfect to put it out.
Yeah.
Because people will go on a journey with you.
Yeah, that's a journey.
You'll put out something and maybe it's not the highest quality track that's been put out, but you know what? They're going to see you grow as an artist and they can say, oh, look, I watched them like improve over time. Yeah. And I think that's like what you want your audience to be anyway. It's follow you.
Exactly. And it takes the pressure off too, because, you know, eventually if you want to get, you know, Grammy nominated, all those different things and stuff, it's like, it's the quality, like the sound quality of everything too, but it's also how you connect it with the fans and everything. That's what helps to really push that music out.
Exactly.
So, so unless you're dropping it, making tracks that people can relate to, being conscious of what's happening in the world, your fan base, all those things too. Again, so just taking the pressure off and just literally letting God use you
where
you're at.
Yeah.
You know, that's so key. I absolutely love that. Now, speaking of which, you spoke was it the second? I think it was the second creative encounter we had. Second or third?
Yeah.
No, yeah. So we did the first one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my band did the first one to kick it off last February. Because remember, creative encounter, we do the podcast, but it's also monthly events. So we'll be kicking that back off this summer. Things are shifting. We're making some adjustments with some things and stuff. So we'll be starting things back off over the spring, summer. Mm-hmm. But last year when we actually launched it, Jolene was at our third one. That was it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep.
So that was April of last year. I remember that. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. And you did. So fun. Yeah, I know. It was so fun. Yeah. So like you did four or five of your originals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was just, I loved it. It was so
cool. It was so much fun. I had a blast. That was my first time too doing that full of a set. So I perform live a lot, but usually like open mics, only one or two tracks. And so it was like so fun for me to be like, here's like my catalog. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like here, I can
show the Chi Alpha crew came out
too. Yeah, people were showing mad love. It was great. It was so cool to be like, oh wow, like I'm up here like really sharing all these songs, getting to talk about why I wrote them, the story behind them. I mean, it was just such a great environment. So like props to you even for putting that together because it was just so great to have like Christian artists or even people who just wanted to support Christian artists all in one space. Like it was just so great.
Yeah, and that's what this is all about, because it's like the world is pushing their stuff out unashamedly. It's like, how much more should we be, you know, pushing all of our work out and being able to just make those moves in this world. You know, he told us to dominate and just take over and just show people the gospel and everything and show love through our craft. So you know, that's what it's all about. But you know, but with your songs, can you pick one of them and kind of just break down, you know, what's the story behind it and like you know, how it just kind of like deeply connects to you and your audience. Like, I think there was one specific one, because we have the YouTube video of that performance. Yeah, yeah. It was one, I think you had like a big story behind it. It was like one of the newer ones, I think. But it doesn't necessarily have to be done, but just one of the ones that you could think of, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. It's a great question. So I'll give the story behind a new song, actually. When I did it at Creative Encounter, I think it was unreleased. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be putting out real soon.
Which one was it?
This is Everybody Clap.
Everybody clap.
Yeah. Cool. So that one I was just listening to the other day. Like I said, I'm getting ready to release it.
Good.
And I think the story behind that one is just like me dealing with these feelings of recognizing that, like the song says, you can't make everybody clap.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we put pressure on ourselves, feeling like, okay, whenever I need to make a decision or do something, you're thinking about what people will think about your decision.
Yeah.
You're thinking about, who am I going to let down?
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking about all these different things. And it's this realization of like, oh, I need to be free from that feeling of what other people might think of me, you know? And I even think about that scripture that talks about like, you know, you'll be tossed to and fro like the ways, if you're thinking about what other people think, it's like, you really will be. You're going to, oh wait, no, these people are going to be happy if I do this, but then these people will be happy, then these people won't be happy with me. And so I really like wrote that when I was like, okay, what does it look like for me to figure out like who I want to be, not just based on what other people want from me, but like what I want from me, what God wants from me, like what does it look like to embrace every single part of me, everything that God has called me to be, and to be unashamed, basically, and living that out and walking that out. And like, we can really get caught up in what other people's opinion is of us. And I was like, I just want to be free from that.
Yeah.
But that sounds really great, but the reality is you got to come to terms with, you can't make everybody clap, though, because some people might not clap when you do that.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, man, that's so good. And it's so tricky. Like, the last few episodes, it's been this theme of us talking about how in being an artist, our whole thing is based on people accepting you, people accepting your art. That's what art is. It's like you put a piece up, you know, you put some music out. Do they like this song? Do they like this art piece? All that stuff. Do they like this video that I created or whatever it is that we're working on? So a lot of it is, you got to find this beautiful balance of being grounded and sound in God. But then also putting out work that is presentable and acceptable to the audience and everything like that. But then even without that, even along with the rejection and all those different things, realize that everybody's different. Everybody's not going to vibe with it and being content and being okay with it. You know? And that's the daily struggle as an artist.
Oh my goodness.
Can you give an example of a time when like, you know, maybe something that you may have put out or something that you were, pushing toward and it was like, it didn't have like the return that you were kind of.
For sure. That's great. I think for me, a lot of times, so I also do film too. And so I'm actually, I just had a short film that I finished that's been at a couple festivals, which is cool.
Nice.
And then I'm in production right now for a short film that I'm directing.
So, congrats.
Thank you. And so I think a lot of times when it comes to those things, I always get, I put so much pressure on myself, especially when you're the one who's like writing and directing this thing. So you're like, if it's trash, I'm the only one responsible. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't blame, you know, my DP. I can't blame the sound guy. Like, if it's bad, it's my fault.
Yeah, I did all right. of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, I was in charge of this project. Yeah. And so whenever, I think especially with films, it's like, there's this anxiety of like, it has to be good. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be good. This has to be perfect. This has to be portfolio worthy. Mm-hmm. This has to be festival worthy. Yeah. And I think even when I was like writing it, it's like, I was trying to write, just write the story, like just write it out. But in my mind, I'm thinking like, but this also has to be great. This has to be perfect. Yeah. And I think I was even at one point, I was just so like overwhelmed by it. And I was praying one time and I realized like, there's just this huge fear of failure. Mm-hmm. And God was kind of like, okay, and if you fail, so what? I was like, God, what you mean, so what? Like, that's the worst thing ever.
That's the whole point.
Like, I can't fail. And it's like, but like, you'll be okay. And it was just this weird feeling of like, oh yeah, it'll be okay. Like, even if I make it, and if it is bad, and if people don't like it, like, it's okay. Like, it'll be fine. And also, like, my whole identity is not being an artist. An artist, like, we love, like, we're artists. We think about ourselves like, oh, you know, this is who I am. This is what I do. But I think for me, that's even what makes me feel different as an artist who's a Christian, where it's like, it's not my entire identity. Like, this isn't, like, everything to me as far as, like, what grounds me completely. And so it's like, even if I do mess up, if I do fail, if people don't like something, or even if it just doesn't connect with them for whatever reason, it's like, that doesn't say anything about who I am. It's hard to feel that way as an artist because, like, your art is, like, a piece of you. And you're like, this is me, though. And it's like, but it's a reflection of you, but it's not you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you are still a full person. You are still worthy of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you're, even if you fail, even if you don't make things to the caliber that you desire, like, you are still worthy because you're still a child of God. Like, you're still who you are. You're still valuable. And I constantly have to remind myself of that, because every time I do anything that I feel like is not good or I failed, I'm like, oh, well, this is it. Like, I'm no good. This is
take me now, Lord. Yeah, Lord.
That's it for me. But it's so important to ground yourself, because it's easy to fall into those traps of like, oh, if I'm not good at the thing I'm passionate about, or if I don't do well, like, I'm nothing. It's like, well, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true.
That's good. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And then it's like, because with that, because I always go back to, because people can get lax in that too.
Yeah.
And be like, well, either way, you know, it's fine and everything. So God still demands excellence, which
is actually
the title of our previous, you know, some episodes back, the demand for excellence. Like, God still wants us to be excellent, to walk in our calling and creative giftings. But he wants us to put our trust in him. And whatever the product is, he'll handle all of the back end stuff. You just put the best effort you can and leave it to him. Whatever the result, it was his will.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I remember, like, okay, this is all in your hands.
Yeah.
You know, so I can trust in that.
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely.
That's so dope. Yeah, that's so cool. Good. Now, we have been talking about your music, and it's been fantastic. Now, we're going to shift a bit and talk about film, because you know you're talking about, like, you got some short films now. Cool. So you're already in grad school.
Yes, program. I am.
Okay. How many more years do you have? Like, you have like one more year.
So I have about another year of taking some classes and working on some smaller projects. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I move into thesis. And so then I just kind of pick a project and I'll be working on that. Still to be determined getting to that, but I'm really excited. Yeah. That's just going to be one big project that I get to just focus on for the entirety of like a year.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell me how the grad school grad program has been going, and if you want to share, what is the short film, like, what is it about?
Yeah, I don't know if, like, for sure. Yeah,
do we have to, like, wait for that? Or
you can share a little bit about it. Okay, for sure. Yeah, so I'm in grad school at Howard University. I'm getting my Master's of Fine Arts.
Quick question. Is that a historically black?
It is. HBCU. You know.
Love it. Come on. I was like, I know how.
Gotta represent.
Yeah, come on now. I love it.
Yeah, so it's
really
cool.
You should be in Illinois, though, but that's cool. You do your thing.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'll be praying for you. Go ahead. What up, Howard?
That's right. Shout out to Howard. So it's really cool. So I was working on, I just finished like a kind of like an experimental short film actually that has now been accepted into two film festivals, which is really cool. Yeah. So waiting to hear back. And that one, it's called Code Switch. And it was actually really cool because it's experimental. It's almost like it uses photography. So it tells a narrative through black and white still photos, which kind of like at first people were like, oh, interesting. Okay. So like it's not really a film. And I'm like, well, yeah, it is. Because as you know, like film video is just a series of photos.
Yep.
Right, so if you're shooting 24 frames per second, that's just 24 photos that you're looking at every second. You just don't realize it with your eyes, but that's what's happening. And so in this film, we kind of break it down. And so it's like, what if I just showed one photo? Like, how few frames can I use to tell this story, which I think is really cool.
And is there, like audio over
yeah,
to
it. Yeah, and so what it
not,
is.
Not like music, but just kind
of
like,
right,
like a
right, like a soundtrack of some sort. Yeah, so what is it's photos. Mm-hmm. And so the basic narrative about it, it just shows a young black woman. Mm-hmm. And the idea is we see her in her home where mm-hmm. she's, you know, she's just getting ready. She feels comforted. She's yeah. free in her home. She's herself.
Yeah.
But when she has to go to work, there's mm-hmm. this like code switching. And so we yep. kind of give this almost like dark tone of the mm-hmm. fact that she's having to become somebody that she's not. Just that. To be in this space. And it almost feels like Get Out type, like yeah. horror, like in the sunken place kind of yeah, thing, yeah. where it's like I'm being forced to exist a certain way to kind of like fold into myself and say, yes, sir, no, sir, you know, and like she feels trapped in those yeah. spaces. And then it's not until she goes back home again where mm-hmm. she feels free, feels fully herself. So that's kind of the overarching narrative. And it's actually set to some music. So there's music that plays. And yeah. then I also have.
Original?
No, it's not original. Okay. We had it scored. I wasn't the one who scored it, but we had someone score it. Yeah. And then there's poetry over top of it. So I actually wrote like a spoken word
yeah.
that goes on top of it. And it was really personal too, because yeah. I actually use excerpts like from my own journal to mm-hmm. like fill some of the lines of the spoken word. And so it's basically just spoken word about what it means to be able to be fully accepted in spaces, mm-hmm. what it means to be able to be fully yourself, particularly mm-hmm. as a black woman, when yeah. a lot of times to exist certain places, you have to fall into other people's normal. Mm-hmm. You have to fall mm-hmm. into the space they've given you to occupy, which isn't often yeah. very much.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like my own personal spoken word told over that story to kind of give this feeling of like, give the audience an immersive feeling of this is kind of a taste of what it feels like to be a black woman in America. It's supposed to be immersive. No matter what your background is, maybe you can get a little bit of a taste of what it feels like on the day to day for us. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
And it's in two festivals.
Yeah, it's been accepted to two. So waiting to hear back about some more, but okay. it's been
and what
received
state,
really
what
well.
What state will the festivals be in?
So there is one in D.C. and mm-hmm. there is one in France.
In France?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Oh, snap. When is yes, that going to be?
So it's actually screening this month, and then if it wins the festival, it'll screen again at the Pompidou, I believe, which is a big museum in Paris. Mm-hmm. So waiting to hear back if we win. Yes, sir.
I love it. That's so
yeah,
cool.
It's really exciting. Really exciting.
Man, I really hope you get that.
Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, great. Okay, so I need to know like what's next because again, you have all these different things.
I got a lot going on.
I mean, I'm even thinking about like, hey, you're doing campus ministry mm-hmm. as well. So, do you see mm-hmm. after grad school?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm throwing all these at you,
right?
You
know, yeah,
and obviously we'll see. So. After you graduate from grad school, do you plan to get back into like a type of campus ministry role?
Mm-hmm, great question.
Will you be starting to work on bigger films?
Yes.
Or will you be just working on music, touring, performing? Like which lane? Because you know, sometimes we can do a few.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What's like your heart's desire that you want to really pursue?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. You know, like you said, for me it's hard. I call myself a multidisciplinary artist. Yeah. That's the best way to describe it. Because mm-hmm. I'm just creating things. I'm using whatever skills I have to create. So I'm making films. I'm taking photos. Yeah,
even your IG page isn't it just like Jolene Creates.
Yes, right. Yeah, yeah. Because I should be making things.
Yeah,
like, so it's like we're doing it. So and I think sometimes that used to stress me out because I was like, okay, what do I follow? Because I could do this and I could do this and I could do that and even like ministry and all these different things. And so I think what I really desire for myself is to be the fullness of what God's created me to be, right? And so I always pray for like, how do I bring that all together, right? And so right now, like, you know, I'm in production for another short film and all this kind of different stuff, but I've always really thought about like, how do I do ministry even through art? Like, what might that look like? What might it look like to support other artists? What might it look like to use art for justice issues? Mm-hmm. What might it look like to impact communities through art and that sort of thing? And so I feel like grad school is really cool because it gives me the space to kind of just dabble in a lot of different things, see what connects and also connect with people, like different people that I've met at Howard in D.C. and then even still being connected with you in Chicago. Like, I feel like I have people I work with in New York. So, like, I'm connecting with people all over. But I think after grad school, the goal would be like, all right, Lord, how do I bring it all together? Because I think you get to really be in a unique place when you do what only you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I had someone give me that advice once where they were like, figure out what it is that like only you can do. There's a lot of things you can do, but what can only you do?
That's good.
And to me, that means like, okay, it's at the intersection then of all these different things that I do. So like, you know, right now it might just look like making films and that sort of stuff. But I'm like, I'd love to like do like nonprofit work with art and that sort of thing, and figure out how to connect the artists who are looking for other artists. Because art, you know, this artist community.
Exactly.
You can't create alone, and I know that because I've tried. Yeah, right. And because that's why I know how to do so many things. So let me just do it myself. But I realize I let people in, and it's so much better that way.
Yeah. And then even just you helping out, like that's why we created Creative Encounter, like the actual events, so that everyone can network with each other.
Exactly.
Because when you feel like there's community and everyone can come together, you feel like, man, you feel empowered. Like, I can do this. Right. And you're also just learning from, like, oh, this is how you do that specific thing. This is how you do that. Let me learn and integrate that into what I'm doing as well.
Yeah.
You know, we've had so many, how you were talking about, like, just a few moments ago, imposter syndrome, and how you were feeling like, you know, inadequate at certain times. You feel like, you know, is this possible? Like, you know, all those different things. We talked about those
things.
We had those conversations and stuff. So that's super important. Like, it'd be so dope to even just have, I got some ideas.
Yeah,
I know, throw people, because people, you know, be listening to take notes and stuff.
That's right. Don't say it on camera. Right. We'll talk later.
We're going to talk about this afterwards. But I got some dope ideas that, you know, we could do, like, and collaborate and work on.
Definitely.
So, you know, so hurry up and finish school so we can
get a pop in for sure. Yes, sir.
But yeah, but so, you know, continuing what you were saying as far as, like, you know, what, like, next steps and stuff will be.
Right, yeah, definitely. So, working on building a production company where I can help other people, even, like, figuring out people who don't know the video stuff. They don't know film, they don't know art, but how can I use it to push their causes and help with the things that they need? How can I connect people? There are a lot of people who want to get into this work, but they don't know how because they don't know anybody. Well, how, like you were saying, how do I create a community for them so that people who are not trained in this but want to do it, who don't know anybody else but want to do it, how do I just create a hub and bring them in? How do I support artists who want to do justice work and that sort of thing? And how do we even just, like, use art to share the gospel, share who Jesus is, share Jesus' love, you know? And I try to do that even now, just, like, in the songs that I create, what I talk about, or even the stories behind my films. But finding a way to, like, really bring that all home. I really feel myself being, like, a community builder, builder through art.
Yep.
And I think that is a ministry in and of itself as well. So I feel like there's going to be this intersection of all of it where God has uniquely placed me to be. And I think that I kind of see him growing me in different areas, and it's like, it all feels disjointed, but I'm like, I'm starting to see him kind of bring it together and bring it at that intersection of, like, making change, making art, connecting with people, and just, like, sharing the love of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we're always evolving too. So, like,
that's right.
As the years go by, like, he's connecting and forming, putting those pieces. He's using every experience along the way, the journey we talked about, and putting all those pieces together so that you'd be like, yo, this is it right here.
Yes, sir.
You
know,
so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 2023.
Mm-hmm.
What is the project that you're working on now? You mentioned the single.
Yeah,
Like, what's some stuff we should expect to drop this year? And, like, if you have a timeline for it.
That's right. So timeline is important. See, you always remind me, like, when you always say you got to give yourselves deadlines.
I'm
like, give deadlines, but you must be so upset with me right now.
I got to do it for myself, too. We just talked about this right before. So like, you and Gabby keep me accountable.
So I appreciate you always talking about the deadlines. I'm like, I need to do that because I got deadlines. Other people give me deadlines for their projects. So I'm like, I got to give myself a deadline.
That's it.
But yeah, I'm really trying to get it popping in 2023. So, like I said, single's going to be coming out, which is a precursor to an EP. I've been working on this EP for a while now, but the concept kind of keeps changing because I keep changing and who I am and what I want the story to be keeps changing. But really close to being able to finish that EP, so we'll have a release date for that soon. So definitely EP in 2023.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm also in production for a short film right now. So we start filming next month, actually, in April. So we'll be filming in April. And so that will hopefully be out and going into film festivals by the end of 2023 as well. And that's a short film that I'm doing and I already wrote it. I'm directing it right now. It's actually a period piece. So it takes place in 1960s in Brooklyn.
That's
kind of just a little bit of a, I was actually really inspired by my dad because my dad grew up in Brooklyn in the
60s. That's what I'm saying, because you say you're born and raised
in New York. I'm from New York. Yeah. So my parents and my grandparents all, like, in New York, raised in New York.
Oh, man.
And so it's kind of based on that a little bit.
Oh, my goodness, that's like a plethora of stories, like, right there.
Absolutely.
So have you been already, like, interviewing them and kind of getting
A lot of it was actually inspired by things. So it's loosely based off my dad.
Yeah.
A lot of it inspired by the stories that he told me growing up. Because when I was a kid, when my dad would tell me bedtime stories, sometimes he would just tell me stories of when he was a kid. he would just be like, this is what happened. And so I've always had those stories in my head. And so I'm kind of giving a snapshot of that a little bit, of what it was like when he was a kid growing up in the projects in Brooklyn in the 60s and what that environment was like. But also, you know, it wasn't a great environment also at the same time. And so how did the families there, how did they live? How did they cope with that? How did the kids there cope with that? And it's fun. And it's about a kid. It's a little bit of, like, almost like magical realism, mm-hmm. where it's like a little bit of superhero stuff in there too, playing off of 60s superheroes and things like that.
And we're talking the short film that you're
working the short film. So it'll be about a 10-minute short film. And so I'm really excited at working with a crew from Howard University. Some of my cohort members are working on it with me. And it's really fun. It's been really cool. It's a big project. It's like one of those things that feel really intimidating. One of those things that I'm like, I don't want to fail at this.
I know, exactly.
But I'm also really excited, and I think it's going to be really cool. And I'm really excited for the world to see it. And see the response to it also to see if what I intend behind why I'm telling the story, see how that comes across, how people connect with it. So,
and this was bigger than the one that's currently in
that's
the two.
Correct. This this is one I've been writing since end of last year, and then we're gonna have about a 3-day production for it. So we're like casting it, crewing it, all that kind of stuff. So it's gonna be legit.
I'm so excited. That's gonna be so good. I can't wait. And then, and even so, the first one and this one.
Yeah.
Are we able to see the first one?
The first one, it's called Code Switch. So right now it's on what I call like its festival run. So right now we're waiting to hear back from festivals. But once the festival run is over, probably in a few months, it'll be up most likely on my website or YouTube or something. And I can share the link and anybody who wants to see it.
And then we'll put the link in Creative Encounter, you know, Instagram, all of that stuff once it comes out. So we'll always still be pushing the artists even after the interviews. And
stuff.
For sure.
And I'll be sure to let you know. So we gonna push it out.
It's gonna be great. So we always wrap it up with what's like an encouraging word or something that, you know, to just inspire the artist that's watching, or a question you may want to leave with them, something for them to ponder on and you know, actually just kind of just go in on.
For sure. Ooh, it's a great question. I would say that the greatest advice I think I could give an artist, which sounds cliche, but cliches are cliches for a reason, is be yourself. And what I mean by that is that sounds really easy, but particularly with art and even with how, like, competitive art can even feel now. You know, you're looking at, like, who has how many Instagram followers, and, like, I only have this many, or this person's making this. And at the end of the day, the best thing you have to offer the world is you. The absolute best thing. So not necessarily what's trending, not necessarily what sounds like what other people are doing, but, like, really be yourself. Like, push yourself to see just how raw of a person you can be. And I think even for me, like, that's the main goal in my music, because at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm not the greatest rapper in the world, you know. Maybe the second best. You know what I mean? Like, but
you're the greatest rapper in Chi Alpha.
Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's right. Like, yeah. You know, maybe like number DC, two. Right. You know? Yeah. But you know, it's like, I know I'm not trying to always just be the best at everything, but I know I can be the best me, and I know that I have something very unique to put out to the world, because no one else has my experiences. No one else has my viewpoint. No one else has my opinions. No one else has my perspective. I remember it really, really hit me one time when I was performing at an open mic. And after I performed, someone came up to me and they were like, I really love your music. Like, I really connected with it. Like, I thank you for your music. And it was so cool, because this person never listened to my music before. You know, met me, heard me for the first time at this open mic. But my music connected with her. And I realized it was like, oh, because I'm offering myself, and there's nowhere else to get me. Nowhere else to get what I have to offer. I would really say, push yourself more than just the caliber, more than just having the nicest mic, you know what I mean? More than just having the nicest cameras, which is great if you can have that, for sure. But more than that, push yourself to see how raw can you be? How unique can you be? How specific can you be? Like, offer yourself, and people will connect with that because they cannot get that anywhere else.
Oh, that's so good. I love it.
Yeah.
Snap. Thank you so much, Jolene. That
of
was
course.
So good.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much for coming out. So I was telling Jolene, like, again, she was in Chicago last year. She moved. And I was hitting her up when we started this. I was like, I need you to get back here because I want you to be on here in person.
That's
I don't
want
to do it virtually. I want you to be here. And she came out this weekend and hit me up. So, man, it was just such a blessing having you here for this episode.
Yeah, I'm so glad you invited me. Glad we got to do this in person and sit down together.
I just want to thank you also just for, again, just supporting. Except from the beginning, from the inception, you have been a huge support for Creative Encounter.
Yeah, of course.
You know, coming to the events, you know, helping with the camera work, the photos, inviting people out, sharing. You've just been just such a support. So I just pray that God blesses you for that tremendously.
Of course. Yeah, happy to help. I think Creative Encounter is so important. Like I said, art is community, and you're building community among people, and you're helping people do better at what they want to do. I mean, be able to do it better, be inspired to do it even, because a lot of people just like, we can't get up and get that push. And I feel like Creative Encounter does that. Creative Encounter just really brings people together and, like, does it in a way that puts faith at the forefront at the same time. And, like, you're at that unique space, too. I think you're at that unique intersection where you're offering something that's not offered anywhere else. And so that's why I think it's really important.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Man, guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in. So before we go, again, Creative Encounter is a nonprofit under ACT International. So we are a nonprofit. We are tax deductible. So if you want to support this ministry, please do. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to become a monthly financial partner so we can continue to do the events monthly, continue to do the podcast, and so that we can go out and minister and reach people through music and creative arts all over. So we just love you guys, and thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.